Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1 again. I'm sure, Brother Bob, that my Lord and I look forward to having you harp for us in eternity. Our brother Norm introduced me as being from Maitland. Actually, I live in Frostproof. But you're not to worry, because he's also my insurance man, so he'll take care of protecting me wherever I go. As you know, we have been studying in the book of Ephesians, and we'd like to continue there this evening. But before we start, some of you, this is the first time that you've heard me speak here at the conference, and when I have those that are new, sometimes I like to mention the fact that I heard about a man years ago who was speaking in Kansas to a group of farmers seated on a hill, about 5,000 farmers, and he was introducing the speaker. And he was reading from a little piece of paper, and he says, "It says here that our speaker needs no introduction." And he said, "I sure hope so, because I ain't never heard of him." And I'm sure that's true of a number of you. You've never heard of me, so briefly I'll tell you that I'm from Frostproof, Florida, having lived in Florida a good portion of my life. At present, we're developing a Christian retirement community in Frostproof. And anyone that's interested in retiring to Florida, we'd be glad to give you a brochure and tell you about it if you'd like to learn more. Now, that doesn't apply to you young people, but I would like to also say for the young people that I'm a member of the membership board for the new Bible school in Augusta, the Augusta Center for Biblical Study, and we'd love to tell you about that too. If you're interested in going to Bible school for a year, just to found yourself in the basic truths of God's Word, we'd love to tell you about that. At any rate, I'd like to read to you the first three verses again of the first epistle, or the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. As we mentioned last night, we had intended speaking originally on the whole book, but as we got to studying, we saw so many things that were a blessing to us personally that we barely got through the first chapter and into a little of the second chapter in the week, in the messages that we prepared for the week. Last night, as you know, we studied just the first and second verses. Our purpose is not so much to educate you, to teach you, but to give you some thoughts that will put you in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ, and will put you in touch with your position in the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. In other words, we want to aim you. We want to get you aimed in the right direction. You know, so many people today are on the right road, but they're traveling in the wrong direction. And we hope that through this, when you go home, you'll feel like you're headed in the right direction as far as your Christian life is concerned. And another thing we want to do is we want to encourage you in the things of God. You know, these are very discouraging days. Most people are pessimistic. Our brother this morning mentioned the fact that it doesn't matter who gets in as president. The person who gets elected isn't going to be able to do much about our problem anyway. It's so deep-seated. And I believe that to be true. And so we can get very pessimistic. But you know, some people are optimistic. I was telling Brother Norm the other day about one man I heard about in our area. He went to Bartow, which is the county seat of the county that we live in. And he went to the license bureau. He wanted to find out when his marriage license expired. He was optimistic, but I don't know how much help he got there. At any rate, we want to encourage you so that you will be optimistic as a result of this study together this week. In the third verse, which is what we're going to speak about primarily tonight, we find that it's actually the central verse of the book. It's been suggested that it's really the bud from which the portion grows. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And as we said on Sunday afternoon, this is a book about being in the heavenlies. This book seems to indicate that spirituality is an individual matter. Fellowship with God and obedience to His Word is dependent upon you and I as individuals. You see, the choice is ours. Now, God doesn't ask any man or woman whether they will accept life. The only choice is how we will live life. We have life, and that choice is not ours. You know, I was born in the Bahamas in 1927, and for those of you who are figuring that out, I'll be 53 this summer. But I was born in the Bahamas in 1927, and I often say the reason I was born there is I wanted to be near my mother. But you know, actually, I didn't have anything to do with it. I had no choice whatsoever in the matter. Nobody even asked me if I wanted to be born. That is not the choice. Whether we will live or not is not our choice. But how we will live as Christians is our choice. And God wants us to live enjoying all of the spiritual blessings that are ours. And these spiritual blessings, as we learn to live in them, as we learn from this portion, will cause us to live in the heavenlies. Now, if each of us, if each individual Christian was living in the heavenlies, then, of course, the whole church would be a blessing, a particular blessing to those round about. For we know that the church, as spoken of in the Bible, is made up of all the individual Christians in the world. And if every individual Christian was living and enjoying the blessings that are ours, can you imagine the change that would be in this world in which you and I live? The church is made up of individuals, and you and I are to possess individually our possessions. You know, sometimes when I ride through a town, coming up here, I saw it a number of times, you see a sign that says, Revival, next week at the Baptist Church. Now, I don't know how that works, revival next week, because as I understand it, a revival comes in my individual heart. And as a result of the revival in my heart, the revival spreads. But a revival is something that God gives as you and I yield ourselves to Him and are willing to accept from Him the blessings, the promises which He has made to us, and as you and I learn to live in the heavenlies. And that's what the Apostle Paul is writing about. He says, we need to practice that. We need to practice living in the heavenlies. He did. The apostle says, as it were, well done is better than well said. You know, men may doubt what you say, but they will believe what you do. And the first verse, as the first verse indicated, you and I are to be faithful in Christ Jesus. To the faithful, it said, in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that last night, that you and I are to be faithful. It's something that we do. Now, in our passage, in verse 3, it said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's not something that may be ours. It's not something that God may do in the coming day, but it says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I've been blessed with all of these spiritual blessings. God didn't give them to me on the installment plan. He made them possible for me, all spiritual blessings. But they're only mine as I appropriate them. You know, the problem is that we don't lay hold on what is ours. I read about the Scotsman who took a trip over, and you Scotsmen don't feel bad. My dad's a Dutchman, and he says there's only one thing tighter than a tight Scotsman, and that's a liberal Dutchman. But this Scotsman took a trip over from England, from Great Britain, and all day, every day, he was eating this little box of crackers and drinking water because he didn't want to spend the money for the meals. And as they were sailing into New York Harbor, the fellow said to him, "Come on, let's go get our last meal." And he said, "No, I think I'll pass." He said, "Well, you're crazy. You know, the meals go with a ticket." And here this fellow had had these blessings of these good meals all the way over, and he had passed them up. He didn't appropriate them. And that's what happens to many Christians. We don't appropriate the blessings that are ours. We let them pass by. Remember, we told you last time that these spiritual blessings in heavenly places mean not only the type of blessing, but it means where we have the blessings. We have them in heaven. The nature of the blessing, which is in our risen, glorified Christ. And the locality of Christ is in heaven. That's where our Lord is, and that's where our blessings are, because our blessings are in Christ. Remember this also. In life, one of two things are certain. Either you'll live or you'll die. If you live, you need to be in Christ. If you die, you're going to be with Christ. So you and I might as well enjoy it here. Enjoy the heavenly blessings which are ours. In the next couple of messages, we're going to talk a little bit about the three persons of the Godhead. We're only going to mention now the fact that they're mentioned in this portion. God the Father has blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father, I should say, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So we see God the Father, and the blessings are in the Son, and we see that they're communicated to us, they're spiritual blessings, so they're communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. Now today, the day in which we live today, you hear a great deal of talk about the second blessing. And you know, as I read this, I wondered, how can I have a second blessing when it says here that I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus? As an individual, I personally have had hundreds and hundreds of blessings from God. I don't know. I couldn't tell you if I wanted to what the second one was. But I've had many, many blessings from God down through the ages. God blesses us every day. Don't forget that it's a different thing to have the blessings and to make them yours. You have to appropriate them, as we said. Someone has said that free will is God's do-it-yourself kit. You know, God has made it possible for us to have them or not have them as we desire. You know, it's very easy to blame it on God, but actually, if you're not enjoying being a Christian, it's your own fault, because God makes it possible for you to have all blessings. Someone has suggested, you remember that the Lord's name that He gave to Moses, Moses said to the Lord when the Lord told him to go into Egypt and talk to the Pharaoh and talk to the children of Israel. He said, "When I come to the children of Israel, they'll say, 'Who sent me?' And what is his name? And what shall I say? And he said, tell him I am sent you. And someone has suggested that that's like a blank check. I am. Are we tired and weary? He's strength. Are we poor? He's riches. Are we lonely? He's companionship. No matter what you talk about, no matter what your needs are, Christ is all of those things to the Christian. He is everything. And that's the reason he chose that name, I am. I am. I am exactly what every individual Christian needs. Your need of blessing is different than my need of blessing. But Christ is able to supply them all. So you and I, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And we have, of course, some of the spiritual blessings that we talk about quite often are things that you cannot buy with money. They're mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit. For instance, in Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. I don't know if you, as a Christian, have ever thought about the fact that you have love, God's love flowing through you. God said, I am love. He's the source of love. Joy. You know, there's no such thing as joy in the world, as you'll find out as we study Ecclesiastes. Oh, there's excitement and there's thrills. But there's no such thing as joy. There's no such thing as pleasure in this world. There never is, and there never will be, but there is in Christ, and peace. Peace. The Lord said, peace I leave with you, not with the world, but with you. Someday there's going to be peace in the world, but in this day in which we live, there is no peace in the world, but we have peace. We have sanctification. We've been set apart in Christ. We have justification. It's just as though we've never sinned in the eyes of God, and we're dressed in the perfect robe of Christ's righteousness. We can come into the presence of God freely because we come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should any Christian ever feel poor in this world? You know, I had a mother, and in those days when we were growing up in the Depression days, things were so bad, they said that even the people who weren't going to pay wouldn't buy. And in those days, we never felt poor because our mother so made us realize the value of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. I've met many Christians who have been redeemed, but they've never entered into the spiritual blessings which are theirs. You know, when we look at that story of the prodigal son, we see an example of that, don't we? You remember that the prodigal son had gone away. He'd asked the father for his inheritance, and he'd gone away, and he'd wasted the inheritance. And then one day he came back. And when he came back, his father was looking for him. He saw him a long way off, and he ran, and he kissed him. And the son had been preparing his speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he never got that far. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And the father kissed him. And he said, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and kill the fatted calf. For this my son was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. But there was another son. There was the elder son, and he had never gone away. But you know, he had never entered into the blessings of the Father. For he said, I've been with you all the time. I never went away, but you never killed the fatted calf for me. You never had my friends in. You never made merry for me and my friends. And the Father said to him, Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. You see, that elder son had always had the opportunities. He'd always had the blessings there, but he had never laid hold of them. I don't believe that elder son was ever saved. I think he pictures the unsaved. He had never come into the blessings. He'd been there all the time, just like Judas. He walked with the Lord. He had the same opportunity the other 11 disciples did, and never entered into the blessing. And you know, oftentimes you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we never enter into all of the blessings that can be ours in the Lord Jesus. Oh, how sad that is, isn't it? These things are ours, and all I have to do is enjoy them. Our blessings are in heavenly places. You see, the Lord Jesus wants us to live as a heavenly man should live, to rise above the circumstances of the day, to be in Christ. He and me, and I and him. And I thought as I studied this, there are two steps that we can take. Positive steps. We've been talking about positive things. Not in exactly in keeping with our verse, but two positive steps that we can take that will enable us or help us to do that. And one of them, they are the two ordinances that we know. One of them is found in Romans chapter 6. Verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I think that it's a first step in a new Christian's life toward the fact that they're going to live in the heavenlies with Christ. It's a first step. They're saying that old nature, that old fleshly nature, I'm going to bury it. You know, it's not always so easy to do. One boy was baptized, about 19 years of age, and about 4 weeks later he came back to the preacher who had baptized him. He said, "You know, I thought when I was baptized that it'd take care of all those old lusts and so forth." He said, "I find that I still want to sin, and sometimes I do still sin." And the preacher said, "Oh, well, if you want to get rid of those, what we'll do is we'll baptize you again, and this time we'll hold you under for about 10 minutes. You see, that's the only way you're going to get rid of those things, is to leave this world. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have that old nature. But we can take the positive step toward living in the heavenlies by saying, I'm going to bury those things. I'm going to put those things aside, and by baptism, I'm going to put on the uniform of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in 1945, I went down to the naval headquarters in Miami, and they sent me up to Jacksonville. And there they swore me in, and I saluted and held up my hand and swore allegiance to the flag. But it was 3 months after that before they called me for active duty. Now, the day I left that office, I was in the Navy, but nobody knew it because I didn't have on the uniform. But you know, when we go down into death, as it were, when we're baptized, we're putting on the uniform of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a positive step toward saying that you and I are going to seek to live our lives pleasing unto the Lord Jesus. You know, in the New Testament, it seems to indicate that the moment you're saved, you should be baptized. Every example of baptism, they were baptized immediately. So don't be put off when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, okay, I'm going to aim in the right direction. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to take a stand and say that I want to bury those old things. I want to get them, rid of them. And with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to live from this day forward pleasing unto Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. And as you and I find that our heavenly blessings are in heaven, we begin to draw on the resources. And as I draw on the resources of heaven, I have two things. I have the power and the desire to live above the things of this world, to be, as we call, an overcomer here in this world. It says that we have these things in Christ, not with Christ, but in Christ. People often misquote this. They say that we have these spiritual blessings in heavenly places with Christ. That's not correct. It says that we have them in Christ. We are seated in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there. Someday I'm going to be with Him. But in the meantime, I have these blessings in Christ. You and I love to sing that song, God sees my Savior, and then He sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. Dr. Ironside said that sometimes after a very special breaking of bread meeting, one will say to him, well, wasn't it wonderful, brother, today to be seated in Christ? But he says, you know, that's not the only time we should have that happy glow that comes. We should have that happy glow every day of our life, for we're constantly seated in Christ. We're not only seated at the breaking of bread service. That, of course, is the second one of the ordinances, that you and I should come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in His death. And I believe that's a second very positive step. Today I find so many of what our brother A.P. Gibbs used to call SMOs, Sunday morning only Christians, who come in the morning at 11 o'clock and it's the only time you see them. Some, during the rest of the week, they're in a subway somewhere, but they pop up on Sunday morning. But you know, the real blessing comes in gathering around the table. You know, Paul thought it was very important, and the Lord Jesus thought it was very important, because He instituted it, and then He gave it to Paul by revelation. For Paul says in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. We see, of course, in this passage, as we know many times, we see a memorial. We're to do it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a feast, and on the table is the cost of that feast. We see the bread, which speaks of His body, which was broken for us. And we see the cup, which speaks of His blood that was shed for us, and points out the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. He went down into death and conquered death for us there at Calvary's cross. And as we see those two emblems on Lord's Day morning, we're reminded of the cost. The hymn writer says, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that our Lord passed through ere He found the sheep that were lost. You and I see also in this passage that it's a preaching service. It says, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. It's a preaching service. It tells those round about of what Christ did for us. It ever reminds us of the wonder of the fact that the eternal God the creator of the universe, came into this world to be my Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, not an example, but a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I've been in the assemblies all of my life, and I'm absolutely convinced that my personal faith and personal love for the Lord Jesus is as a result of attending those remembrance feasts, Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and singing those lovely hymns, and seeing Christ uplifted, and ever reminded of the fact of what He did and what He is doing for me today in glory. May God encourage you to take that important step of seeing that you're at the Lord's Day service every Lord's Day morning. My mother told me never to miss without a reason. And in my entire lifetime, I don't think I've missed being at a breaking of bread service 30 times in my entire lifetime. I was in the service twice. And other than when I was at sea, I never missed being at a breaking of bread service on Lord's Day morning. Let me encourage you to do that, to come and be where the Lord is. Not that it's the most important thing, but I believe it is the highest form of service for the Christian, and that's worship. That expression in Christ is truly important to you and I. Those two words are found some 130 times in the New Testament. We have life in Christ Jesus. That's where we live. Our new life is in Him. Thus Christ calls us into the sphere of His life to live. And He excludes or separates the Christian, if they're willing, from outside and hostile influences. Forget not that we said that our blessings are in Christ, and you and I should possess our possessions. But remember also that the blessings are not ours because we earned them or deserved them. They're not ours by our faithfulness. They're ours because of what He did for us. You remember the Jewish people under the law had their blessings tied up in the keeping of the law. It's not so with us. We're not under law. We're under grace. They had to wait for the fulfillment of their blessings as their acts were completed. Not so with us. We don't have to wait. We possess them. We are what we are because we're in Christ, and as a result, we're perfect because He's perfect. We're not like the man who's the self-made man, you know. They said it's a good example of unskilled labor, and it always needs some additional construction. Not so with us. We're perfect. Have you ever seen anything that was perfect? Just look at what God makes. I've often used the illustration, if you take a needle, it's the nearest thing to perfection that you can look at in the human eye. It looks so perfectly round and pointed. But if you put it under a microscope, it looks like a rusty poker. Did you know that? But you can take that little tiny stinger that comes out of a bee and put it under the most powerful microscope made, and it looks just as perfect as the needle does to the human eye. God makes everything perfect, and you and I have been made perfect in Him. And you and I are to live in the heavenlies. The Bible teaches that man is made to live on earth. And that we die, we're taken off the earth. But God devised a plan whereby you and I are able to live in heaven. We can live with Him in heaven. And of course, this is beautifully illustrated in the story of the thief on the cross. He was a man who the world had said was so bad that they were going to take Him out of this world. They were putting Him to death, crucifixion, and they only reserved that for the worst of criminals. That's why it's so unusual that the Lord was crucified. But we know that that was prophesied. But at any rate, man judged this thief not worthy to live, but Christ said he was worthy for heaven, for he said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." To be in Christ, Oh, the wonder. You know, it should cause us to worship, shouldn't it? And you know, when we're in Christ, the interesting thing is it leaves self out. I'm occupied with a place. In this place, the person of Christ. For when I'm in Him, it leaves me out. And that's where I should be. It's not because I'm worthy, but it's because He's worthy. God sees me in Christ. In the Beloved, accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through His infinite grace, with the redeemed ones accorded a place. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then He sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. And you know, to be in the Beloved, to be in Him, it means that I'm eternally safe too. For nothing can reach me, for I'm in Christ. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And to be in Christ also means that I am or should be happy and comfortable. Now, for in times of stress and trial, as we've already said, we have peace knowing that we're in Him. It has been said that you and I are in the heavenlies when saved because that's where He is. And as we've already mentioned concerning the thief on the cross, it's immediate. And it's not because we're worthy. We don't over the years grow worthy. We are immediately there because we appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ and because He is worthy. Just a few years ago, I saw a young man of 19 who I've known since he was a little boy in the assembly there in Hialeah. He was raised in the assembly. At one time he'd made a profession, but he knew he had never accepted the Lord Jesus. He came one day to the service and he went home. He had been troubled with what was said, and he got on his knees and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his life. And He saved him. And you know, immediately there was a change in that young man's life. It was just as though he had been black and suddenly became white. The things that he went out and did, his attitude, he began to enjoy the presence of God and the Lord Jesus. And he said all these passages he'd memorized and all the things he'd heard preached about suddenly all made sense to him. Suddenly understood them all. And he was blessed because he began to live in the heavenlies. He began to enjoy the presence of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it showed. His life began to be, as our brother said, it moved in the direction of being transparent. Someone has said, life is like a mirror. It never reflects more than we put into it. And you know, that's true too. You and I need to begin to look like the Lord Jesus. So it is with us. That's how people know that we've been saved. That's how people know that we have Christ dwelling in us. That's how people know that we're living in heavenly places because we're able to walk pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seated in Him. We have all blessings. We're not yet seated with Him, but we're seated with Him, in Him. Tonight, may God lay these thoughts to your mind and make you to realize the blessings that are yours. May it cause you to search the Scriptures and to see the promises that God has made, for they're all yours. You and I have been given these promises, these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, and they're all yours if you'll lay hold on them. In the day in which we live, how thankful we should be for such a Savior, such a work, and such a place into which we've been brought by Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege of looking into Thy Word. We thank Thee for these thoughts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the thought of this book that we who are so unworthy have been made worthy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can walk and talk and live above the things of this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. May that become very real in our lives, our God and Father. Not that we do not have concerns in our life. Not that we do not have obligations that we need to meet. But, O our God and Father, that we may live as though we're seated with Christ, that as a result of this, we may be a true blessing to those round about, and we may enjoy and grow and be transformed moment by moment into the image of the One who gave Himself for us. We ask that this might be true. Pray now, our God and Father, for those that have been bereaved recently. Pray now for any that are ill, aged or infirm, that could not be with us this evening, any perhaps that are traveling on the highway. For our president and our country, we would commend them to Thee as well, and all of our loved ones, as we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.